Baltimore, Philly.
None of those places, right? My name is Rob, and I'm an addict. Actually from Philly, Camden, New Jersey. Reside in Landover, Maryland. And any place else that I could find to get one. You know what I mean? You know, I was sitting there, we was joking, right? Because you know how society, if things happen, because society grows, right? And when things happen, that they analyze the growth, and then they'll put in more laws. You know what I mean? If we get one more damn statement, we had about five statements, different ones. Responsibility. So where did that one come from? Somebody did something, and they had to get another statement. That'll fix it. You know what I mean? We don't follow direction anyway. We want what we want when we want it. We want to feel good all the time. We want our way. Topic today for myself is breath of life. They could have saved that breath on all those statements. You know what I mean? I remember when I first came in, I had never tried to improve my situation. And in 1990, July 10th, I went to take somebody else to the hospital. After their appointment, they got to go home, and I went to detox. I was just the driver. I had no intentions on turning my life around. Stop using, because I had a bunch still at the apartment. And I figured after I take him to his doctor's appointment, that I go back and we was going to get on. Well, I went to detox and my sister had to clean out the apartment. She was more than happy to clean out that apartment. I called her in treatment. She said, "Do you know what you had in there?" I said, "I know. I was trying to get back to it." Get rid of it. You know, I like to thank CPR CNA for taking a Narcotics Anonymous risk on a guy like me to share my experience, strength, and hope and deliver a clear NA message. I'm real big on that. You know, people find things to hold up as a flag and to stand behind. One thing that I've stood behind is this literature. I believe in the literature because the literature has given me hope. And that promise has been fulfilled. I'm not totally free, but I'm a whole lot better than I was. I'm talking about a guy that grew up in North Philly, right? And I say North Philly because back in Philly, we kind of big on our sections, right? And it's like Southeast, you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing, right? And I had a speech impediment growing up. Some people stutter. I had a speech impediment. I stammered. It took me 3 minutes to say one word. So I really didn't have a lot of friends. People really didn't want to mess with me. I definitely didn't have no girlfriends. Because they'd be like, "Oh, here come that spitting motherfucker again." You know what I mean? I'd be like, "Bake, bake, 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 bake." And they'd be like, "Oh, God." You know what I mean? One day, at the age of 12, I went downstairs in my basement, because we had moved to Camden, New Jersey by then. My mom said, "Well, we're going to move to the suburbs." Camden? Camden was the suburbs. I went down in the basement, and my dad had a bar down there. And behind the bar, he had this big half-gallon jug of, for your old heads, Valley High. So I took my studying ass down there and I commenced to drinking that Valley High. When I came upstairs and went outside and they said, "What's up?" I said, what's happening? The next day, I was back down in that basement. Got me a little girlfriend. You know what I mean? Everything was looking up. You know what I mean? Little did I know, it was the beginning of my demise. Because my problem started long before I went down in that basement. My problem started probably when I got with my little friends and we broke that window. You know, the lady that lived by herself, we throwing rocks and broke her window. And I lied and blamed them, and they got in trouble. I said, damn, this lying thing worked. You know what I mean? I didn't get in trouble. Because I would get a beating almost every day. I was a bad little kid. You know what I mean? Because I get to telling somebody something, and they cut me off because I'm stuttering. You know? Or they'll say the word before I get finished stuttering. And I'd be like, oh, we, you know, I didn't know, I didn't have no social skills, so I didn't know how to deal with people, so I throw my hands up. Because I just wanted them to listen to what I had to say. But they wouldn't listen. So I whooped that ass. They say, listen now, won't you? I didn't whoop their ass all the time. Sometimes they tore my ass up. Yeah, I had to get honest on that one. But they had to whoop my ass every day. Because I was going to get them. I come back, mup, 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 mup. You know what I mean? They'd be like, that's like, you know what, man? I'm sorry. You know, that was a lonely place. That was a dark place. Not being able to be heard or understood. I found relief in drugs. I found that I was a social butterfly when I got drugs. I found that I had more friends. It took me a lot of places that I wanted to go, that I saw everybody else going, but couldn't go because I didn't know how to speak up. I just wouldn't say anything because I didn't want them to laugh at me or pick on me. So I just shut my mouth. So I held a lot of stuff in. And when it came out in anger. It had to come out. So one thing my mother didn't do was play. My mother's from Savannah, Georgia. She did not play. We grew up in Philly, but we was raised like we was on one of those porches in Savannah, Georgia. When you came through that door, your Kango immediately went to the front. Everything on you was dress right dress. Everything was tight. And that's the way she raised, you know, raised us, right? But I did my school. Yeah. Basically, you know, it just automatically, you know what? I noticed, let me say this, I hope I don't miss where I'm going. But through journaling, my sponsor from Baltimore, his name is Brock. A lot of y'all know him. And through journaling, right, I find that every March, when the weather get nice, the windows go down on the SUV, the hat automatically goes to the back, Tupac go in the CD player, and I'm bouncing. Every March, you know. I don't know, you know, I guess, you know, I don't know, the spring thing, you know, I don't know. But she made us get an education because her and my father had seventh grade educations. They ran away from home when they was 15. My dad's from Florida, she's from Savannah, Georgia, and they ran away to get married. They didn't have an education. He was a dishwasher that later became his own business owner. But she wanted us to get an education. You know, so I graduated from high school at the age of 16 and went to Howard University, right? Majored in microbiology, biology and botany, and minored in chemistry. Yeah, just couldn't have a normal damn major. They should have known I was an addict right then. Everybody else, what's your major in English? What you mean? Microbiology, biology. Well, goddamn. You know, but when I got here, I had been through the Philly and New Jersey scene, through the Howard scene, and what Philly and Jersey didn't dust off, DC took the rest of it. You know what I mean? At the age of 16, you know, and after doing 8 years in the Marine Corps and boxing on the Marine Corps boxing team for 5 years, I landed in a detox. The prodigal child, you know, with about 17 cents in my pocket. And I was in that detox and the second day, because I didn't have a drug of choice. You know how people graduate? They said, well, you know, marijuana is the gateway drug. I carried all that shit with me. I ain't stopped doing none of it. I ain't graduate from one to the other. I did it all. So I didn't have a drug of choice. When they, you know how people real slick say, well, my drug of poor choice was more. It really was. And after the second day, not being able to sleep, body aching and fluids coming out of everywhere, I thought about my life. You know how when you're younger and you're in school and the teacher says, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I never said I wanted to be an addict. I had dreams and aspirations because we grew up poor. Now, some people are deprived. We was poor. When Holy Sunday came around, I wore something holy. That's what I thought Holy Sunday was. You know, powdered milk, that cheese that won't melt. No matter what you do, you know, so it was real hard for me. So I wanted to take care of my family. So I was the child that was going to do it, even though I had an older brother, two older sisters, two younger sisters. I wanted to take care of my family. I'm real big on family, real big. And where did my life go? That's what I thought about that night. Where did my life go? What happened? I wanted to know what happened because I was supposed to do something. I'm talking about more dead than alive. You know? And I went to the night nurse. She was asleep. I woke her up and I said, look, this 7 days ain't going to be enough. I'm going to need, you know, to do something. Do y'all have an extended program? So somebody will be here to talk to you to about this place you can go to in the mountains and feed the ducks and all that. And I was like, wow, a vacation. That's what I need. That's all I need is a vacation. So myself and seven other people decided that we was going to go. Now, one of these people, this young lady, later became my wife. I met her. And we went to treatment. And I'm walking around because, you know, my intelligent ass, you know, I figured out that I was going to get these 5x8 cards. And everything that they said in the treatment center, I was going to write down on the 5x8 cards. And then I was going to put them in my back pocket every day. And like when I go places and something happened, I can go, bam, let go, let God. You know what I mean? I was going to be ready. So the counselors came up and said, well, why every time we in group or whatever, you writing stuff? And I told him my idea. I think he's going to tell everybody else so they could do it too. He said, stay right here. He went and got somebody, told him, stand in front of this door and make sure he don't move. They went to my room and took all my writing materials, my pencils and everything. He said, you need to listen so you can identify and stop trying to intellectualize this. We had a Thursday night meeting, and this guy would come up there, right? I didn't know it was H&I, but they would come up there, and we have a meeting. Now, people go to treatment, get help. I had boys in treatment. We had a little crew. It was 88 of us. You know what I mean? And we sat back by the juice machine, because we had it in the cafeteria, and we was charging people a quarter to get some juice, right? In treatment. And I finally listened when they took all that stuff. I listened to the guy that was coming in there because I couldn't identify. He had on jeans. He had on a black shirt with a whole bunch of colors. He had on a leather vest and a chain from his belt loop connected to his wallet. We didn't have people like that in Philadelphia. I didn't listen, but I listened to him that night. And I listened to where the different situations took him. And then I identified in. And that's where I get. It don't matter whether you come from Yale or jail, Park Avenue or Park Bench, we all get here the same. That's why I don't judge people in a meeting of where they're at. They got to get to where they're going. And their experience is just as deep as mine. It made them feel. So I was in these meetings. I got out. I was in these meetings. And I heard service to keep you clean. I was like, oh, I got to get some of that. You know, I got 8 service positions in 7 days. 8. Somebody went back. My sponsor then was Jonathan. Somebody went back and told Jonathan. Jonathan came to me. He said, yo, man, how many meetings you going to a day? I said, well, I go to a 7 o'clock meeting in the morning. I go to a 12 noon. I go to a 4 o'clock. And I go to an 8 o'clock at night. And you know, when I'm working a 40-hour job. That's in between. And I thought he was going to be real happy because I was doing, you know, a whole bunch of meetings a week. He says, so when do you have time to live any of this program? You always in a meeting. He said, why don't you try to go to 1 or 2? I said, he hating. I don't know why he hating. Just because he don't go to as many meetings. They said meeting makers make it. You know, I'm trying to make it, you know. So he said, and how many service positions you got? I said, man, I got 8. He said, well, why don't you let some other people recover? I said, he definitely hating now. They said service to keep you clean. My first supervision, and I'm talking about the breath of life, being breathed into a person that came from a real dark place. My first supervision, you know how you get voted into service? Right in the group conscious? I know that now. But my hat was like this back then. It just turned this way in a couple of years ago, right? Back, right? And I saw the coffee maker go to the back of the room and go in this little room. And he was getting supplies out of there. So after the meeting, I followed him in the room. And I cornered him. I said, yo, man, give me that shit. He said, what you talking about? I said, unass the coffee stuff. I need it to stay clean. He looked at me and he said, crazy newcomer here. That's how I got my first call. And then that wasn't the end of the story. It got worse. The next week, I had a white cloth on the table. I had international creams. You know that dude that be in the club, sit in the bathroom? I was standing at the end of the table like, hey, get yourself some coffee. He came over. He said, man, what are you doing? I said, yo, man, I hooked it up. He said, man, if you're going to sit your rabbit ass down, they just want you to make the coffee. They don't want you to do all that. You know what I said, right? He hating. said, that's all right. That's all right. You know what? I'm going to get more time than him. Now, how in the hell am I going to do that if he stayed clean? But I was trying. So some of that time, these almost 27 years, have been years of resentment. It's called resentment time. You know how people piss you off in a meeting, share behind you, dress right dress, or do something like that, and you'd be like, mom, you don't even know. You know what I mean? You know, that's resentment time. You know? And I just wanted to stay clean. I just wanted to do better than I've been doing. I just wanted the pain inside that I wasn't telling anybody about to stop. I wanted my mom to be proud of her baby boy. I used to drive from Maryland to Philly and Jersey to go to church with her on Sunday mornings. Not every Sunday, but most of them. And we go to Sunday school, and she'll introduce me to the deacons. And she said, this is, my name's Robert. They call me Rob, but my family know me as Bobby. And she said, this is my son, Bobby. And my chest would stick out, you know? That was the most beautiful feeling that I've ever received, of her being proud of me. That felt good. That's more than me being the little short dude in the room that's, you know, jumps on the biggest dude in the room and talks the loudest so I can be accepted and then get my ass whooped. And then y'all be like, but Shorty, you was hanging in there, Shorty. You was hanging in there. You know what I mean? And I'd be like, well, somebody pick up my teeth. You know? My mom transitioned in 2005. I didn't know how I was going to go on without her, because I was the baby boy. The next year, my dad transitioned. The man that I looked up to, he was larger than life. He was an old-fashioned guy that went to work and came and gave his check to my mom. You know what I mean? And took care of home. He had outside things. I have half brothers and sisters, but home was taken care of. And then a lot of y'all know my brother Ulysses R. Transitioned in 2009. This was the dude everybody in the neighborhood wanted to be like. Had the big car, the women, the clothes. I became the big brother, and he became the little brother in Narcotics Anonymous. And then in 2013, that young lady that I met in detox, my wife Nadine R, passed in my arms. I can't tell you how it would be for you, but I know it's been a rough road for me. Sometimes I want to go be with them. That's the truth. But I know they would want me to keep going on. I've learned so much from them. I am them. That's what keeps me going. Their spirit goes on because they lived through me and they taught me a lot. One thing I did was get into the steps. I got into the traditions. And even though the concepts came out in 1993, I got into the concepts in 2009. When I say get into them, I'm talking about study sentence by sentence. That don't mean I know it. That don't mean I'm recovering. That mean that I've studied the literature. That don't mean that I'm no better than anybody just walked in that door. I'm just giving myself a chance. I want to do proper service for the right reasons. And through doing that, I didn't get promotions on my job and all that. I had my own business. Now I'm working 2 40-hour jobs. I'm an addict. You know what I mean? I go to work at 5 and get off at 12:30 at night. And it seems to be working. I've been doing it for 6 months, and I don't, you know what I mean? My sleeping habits are bad, but it's working. My time is not so idle, you know? I got a dog. I got a dog. That's my main apple scrapper. You hear me? That's my boy right there. You know what I mean? When my wife passed, since I'm a veteran, they told me to go to grief counseling. I went to grief counseling, and they told me to get a dog. And I said, what, you trying to replace the dog with my wife with a dog? What, you know, and they was like, ho. We just want you to occupy your time and not think so much on other things. I got him from a rescue in Virginia, and I didn't rescue him. I mean, he sleeps with me. He only drinks Deer Park water. I'm an addict. He's got like 4 coats, boots. Whatever color I have on, he has on a collar and leash. You know, that's my boy. That's my boy. He understands. You know what I mean? He understands. When something go on, I go to him, I be like, Cohen, this and this. And he look at me like, that's okay, daddy. I caught some feelings. And I'm going to break some anonymities. But my friend Bernadette, we was hanging out yesterday, right? And I told my dog, don't do something. And she told him to do something. And he did what she said. I need to retrain your ass. You, what the hell? She didn't give you no greenies. You know? I'm a little tore up about that. You know? I just want to be the best person I can be. I don't want to step on nobody's toes. You know, I don't have to be liked by everybody. You know, I don't want to be in nobody else's business because I got enough of my own. You know what I mean? I just want the newcomer to have a chance at life and maybe see that light cut on. I've been walking this path. Let me see. We had 10 years clean. I got with my boy Steve G. And lately, I can't drive over bridges. I can't drive over bridges. I get all antsy and whatnot. Like, I want to drive off the bridge. I don't know where that's coming from. So I was like, Steve, I need you to drive Ocean City because I can't do that bridge. Now I can't do no bridges. And I can't drive at night. I can't see. I'm like, what the hell? Where is that coming from? And I bought 2 new vehicles. Now I'm stuck with 2 new vehicles and can't drive over the bridge. It's going to be all right. You know, I ain't got to drive over the bridge. I got friends. I got family. They can drive over the bridge. I ain't got to go alone. You know, the steps have like really like gave me the breath of life. And the principles, surrender, acceptance, self-honesty, courage, integrity, you know, willingness, some brotherly love, some justice in the 9th, some perseverance in the 10th, building a conscious contact in the 11th, and empathy and service in the 12th. I take it everywhere I go. Hopefully, I gave somebody hope besides making y'all laugh. I laughed too, and I needed it. Thanks for letting me share.